Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
This is Internet Marketing. Brought to you by Site Visibility at sitevisibility.com. This is Internet Marketing. I'm Andy White, and I'm joined by Matt Daly, Paid Performance Accounts Manager here at SiteViz. Hello, Matt.
Hello.
Tell us just a little bit about what you do here at Site Visibility. I know that was quite a long descriptive title.
Very, very long.
Is it? You're just going to say, I do what it says on the tin, aren't you?
I do what it says on the tin. No, I look after all of the paid social accounts here. I also work with the SEO accounts and do some online reputation, which we're going to talk about today.
And you recently wrote a blog post, didn't you, for PayPoint. Was it entitled Social Media for Small Retailers? Have I got that
yes,
title right?
Yes, it was actually Getting Online and Making It Work for You.
So it was a completely different title to what I just said.
It was, indeed.
I think it was aimed at quite sort of small retailers.
It was aimed at kind of retailers such as small PayPoint stores all around the UK. And it went into a PayPoint retailer magazine, which was sent out to 25,000, I believe. It was pretty big.
There's a lot of, you know, if you look at the sort of distribution curve of businesses, there's a lot of very small businesses. And I think the question that this article raises, and it's a very interesting one, is can retailers, small retailers, be successful both on the high street and online? I mean, what social platform should retailers be using online, small retailers?
Every business is different, so therefore not every platform is going to be suitable for a specific business. So yeah. For a retailer, if we're talking about someone on the high street, like a corner shop, someone like that, then Facebook might be a really ideal platform for them and allow them to be able to engage with their audience and share news on their page as well. And in my article that I wrote, we kind of discussed this and talked about how retailers used to be the local kind of news. I think people used to go there and they used to get the local news from what was going on in your area.
Mm.
And I think it's a lot different nowadays. People do use the online channels such as Facebook, Twitter. It's different. And I think the way in which people engage now isn't always face-to-face.
No.
So it's good to have a kind of channel on one of these platforms because it will allow you to engage.
And we'll talk more about this notion of localness in a minute. I mean, what strategy should retailers or businesses, small businesses, be taking online to increase footfall? So, I mean, normally we talk about what should you be doing online to increase traffic to your website, but what could you be doing to actually increase physical traffic into your shop or retail outlet?
Okay, so I guess, as we mentioned before, the strategy should be driven by the business's end goals. So it's not just a case of being there because they think they need to be there.
Mm.
So that the account they're on needs to be for them. And at the end of the day, all retailers want extra footfall. So if you're looking at Facebook and Twitter, what you want to be doing is looking into how you can increase that footfall through these platforms and drive people into your store. So it's about using the right content, sharing the right things, and even promoting on your Facebook and Twitter accounts to really drive people back to your store.
Do you think it's any good to offer incentives? Like the first, I have seen this on Twitter. Yeah. The first 50 people that come into my store today will get a free, I don't know, loofah.
Will get a free sun hat.
Yes, a free sun hat, even though it's pouring with rain. Does that kind of thing work?
Yeah, I think incentives is what makes social so great. Offering incentives, I mean, there's Flock to Unlock. Have you ever seen one of those?
No, before? How does that work? How did that work?
So with a Flock to Unlock, it's one of Twitter's ways of encouraging people to retweet a specific piece of content that they've shared. And when someone shares it up to 100 times, for example, they might release a promotion code. And what that promotion code then allows them to do is go into the store or shop online.
Yes.
So it's these strategies which can be made up through social accounts should always be driven by the business's end goal. So that's where we think about these creative strategies and we apply that to their end goal.
Yeah. It does remind me a bit actually of, is it pay per tweet or pay by tweet? But it also reminds me, I read recently in the newspaper, this wasn't a small restaurant, I think it was quite a known restaurant, but they were basically saying, when you get your meal, if you photograph it and tweet it out, it's free with a certain hashtag.
That sounds pretty decent.
It sounds pretty decent. I don't know how well it went, but it was certainly quite interesting. Well, let's talk a little bit about the risks of being on social media. We have touched on this recently with Felice in a recent episode. Negative feedback. Again, in the news, there were stories. I think we'll talk about them in a minute, of the American Airlines story, and I think British Gas recently had a bit of fun and games online, but. What sort of things can happen for small retailers if things go wrong with their social media account? What kind of things can go wrong?
Well, there's going to be risks with any social presence or any presence online for that matter. So I think, like we said earlier, with the US Airlines, they had a hack into their account and they tweeted out to someone and a very rude image.
Yeah.
But there is that risk that someone can actually take control of your profile. That's why you have to have a procedure in place to manage that risk, and understand if something does like that does happen, have something in place which allows you to respond quickly. And it's the same with negative feedback from customers. I would always say to clients, we often get clients say, oh, but we don't know if we want to be on Facebook because we might get this negative feedback. But I think the negative feedback is going to happen wherever you are. So you could be not having a page on Facebook and not even know of the negative feedback because people are still going to talk about you. But if you're on Facebook or if you're on Twitter, you can actually respond to this and create a great level of customer experience. So, and understand why your clients or your customers are unhappy. And what that does then is it allows you to improve your service. And I think that's a lot of the time, companies don't really understand that, and I think if they did, then it would be a lot better for their business.
So I think it's probably very important then to do two things: to monitor the account,
yes,
and to be prepared to respond. There's a good positive word for you: respond to negative criticism.
Respond.
Yes, the British Gas story was interesting.
So that was last year. I think that may have been in December.
Yeah.
Around a price increase, I think, in there.
So basically, was the story, I know British Gas are a huge retailer, and we're talking about small ones, but I think the principle still applies. So basically, I think the story is that they increased their prices and then they invited people to come onto Twitter and talk about it using the hashtag AskBG. And basically, all that seemed to happen is that there was a lot of negative comments and reviews and silly pictures and all sorts of things going on. Did they respond well to that? I can't see really a lot of evidence for how they responded.
I don't think there was a lot of response back. I think they may have managed to get some kind of response, but people were posting pictures of their grandmas who looked very cold, and some people even photoshopped some pictures, which do look quite funny. I know, I wish the audience could see. But just go on to Twitter and type in hashtag AskBG and I'm sure you can see everything.
Okay, what about small businesses with their own website? What is the best approach here? Because, I mean, you walk into a small corner shop or, you know, a pharmacy or something like that, and you wonder, have these people got a website? Is it worth having your own website, or is it better just to sort of have a sort of a page on Facebook or a social media sort of focus?
So for a small retailer, for example, like a corner shop, then it's not always worth the hassle of actually going through and creating your own website, because to be fair, all you're going to really be able to host on it is your opening times or anything that you've got on in store, which is on sale. But it's more of an information hub, isn't it? And I think a lot of the time now with Google+, Facebook and Twitter, all of these things can be done through that. So it's actually sometimes more efficient just to run all of your activity through a social platform. So when someone types it into Google, opening hours of this convenience store, you come up in the new Google way, which it describes your opening times. Mm. So I don't think for small independent retailers, it's not always the case. They don't always need a website.
No.
But I think if you were comparing that to the likes of someone like TK Maxx, obviously it's a lot clearer that they do have an online commerce. So they can actually have a website to drive more sales and to get more people into store. But I think for a small business, it's not always necessary.
Let's talk about some of the differences, Matt, between the various social platforms. So main social platforms, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, and Google Plus. What are the differences? Because they're all kind of the same, but I know some of them have specialities that they do things in a better way than other things.
So I think Twitter for me is more of a news hub. Yeah. It's where all the news goes on. So following like breaking news, all those kind of channels, you're going to find out things as they're happening in real time.
Yeah.
And it's similar with Facebook, but I think Twitter has that edge on real time technology there. And I think they are kind of leading that. Whereas Facebook, I see that as more of a place where people just go and talk to their friends or share pictures. Whereas I don't really see that as much on Twitter. I see that more about the general engagement, people looking at news stories. Mm. I think Facebook is more of a place where people go to talk to their friends.
Mm.
But when you look at paid advertising on Facebook, which we do a lot of, it's a great place to engage. Businesses can use paid advertising now to amplify their messaging and to reach new audiences that they have not reached before. So looking into page post advertising, newsfeed advertising, right-hand column advertising, and actually targeting audiences that might likely to be interested in their brand. So that's something which I'd say Facebook is really great for. And Twitter is the same. You can do the same kind of thing with that, where you can sponsor your tweets and push those out to targeted demographics. With Google Plus, I think it's got a load of people using Google Plus, but with Google Plus, I don't think it's a platform which people use on a day-to-day basis. In terms of myself at home in the evenings looking on Google Plus, it's not something that I do. I think I'd use Facebook or Twitter for that matter. I think Google Plus is more for businesses, and I think it's kind of been pushed towards the whole, obviously with Google being the biggest search engine, I think like local SEO, I think having your Google Plus page helps with that. I think businesses are getting more involved on that side of things and building up an authority with their Google Plus page, because it does help them with their local SEO.
What about videos? And the reason I suddenly thought of videos is because I know that Google Plus is obviously very well linked to its own
YouTube.
Yeah, to YouTube and things like that. Is there a place for a YouTube video to advertise your business or to somehow promote it or make people think about it?
So obviously with YouTube, you can promote videos through YouTube itself. So, and that's based around the demographics that are actually likely to be watching those videos. There was a really interesting video that went out about 3 or 4 weeks ago, I think. And it was about a charity, and you didn't really realize at first that it was a charity. And this man walked around with a sign saying, F the poor.
Mm.
And whilst you're watching this video, you're thinking, oh, what an absolute idiot. He doesn't sound very nice, does he? And as it kind of goes on, people are going mad at him in the streets, and he's got homeless people coming up to him, and he's saying, F the poor, basically. And they're all saying, why are you saying this to us? You know, this isn't very nice of you. You shouldn't be saying that. How would you like it if you were in my position?
Mm.
And of course, he continues walking around. And then the message says, so we know you care.
Mm.
And then the video changes slightly. And I wasn't really expecting this. And what then happened was he went around with a sign which said, help the poor.
Mm.
And of course, he walked through the street and nobody said a thing. So it was a message which was really, really clear cutting, and it actually kind of showed that people do care about the poor, but actually no one's helping them. And that video went viral overnight, and I would imagine it's got millions of views now.
It's just the idea, isn't it, behind the video? I think the idea is like 95% of it, and shooting it is like 5% of it.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Coming up with a creative idea like that is just amazing. And yeah. I think they must have made so much money through that. And you think that's maybe a cheap GoPro camera.
Yeah, probably.
And very well executed.
But yeah, just two people, a guy with a board and someone with a camera.
Yeah.
Yeah. It would be very interesting actually to find out how effective that was, maybe in the future show.
Yeah, definitely. We can revisit that.
Just before we sign off, I want to touch on LinkedIn, because LinkedIn is an interest. We were talking about, you know, which is the best, or the difference between the various social platforms. Do you think LinkedIn is still very much corporate, or is it moving is it becoming more Facebookish?
I think it is still very much a corporate platform. Mm. I think, and I kind of see it as a platform to seek new opportunities. If you're a standard user, I think you're going to go on there and see what's happening, and you do network with people and build up relationships, and that's what all of these social networks are about. Mm. And again, you do have the paid side to it as well. Like, so with Facebook, you've got your paid performance stuff, and same with Twitter. So I think LinkedIn is a platform where I wouldn't use it on a day-to-day basis, but I think some people might, to engage with other people. Mm. For example, if you're a recruiter, you might go on there to engage and try and find someone to work at your business.
Yes.
So I think it does take a lot of focus, obviously, around the business corporate side.
Mm. Well, Matt, thanks so much. How can people find you online? What's your Twitter handle, etc.?
So I am online on Twitter, and that's Matt_Daily_UK.
And that's Matt with two T's and Daily, D-A-L-E-Y, isn't it?
Yes, that's it.
Well, that's it for today. Thanks for listening. Sitevisibility.com/IM podcast is the place on the web to find the podcast. Keep sending the questions in. We are slowly accumulating them. The email is podcast@sitevisibility.co.uk. We also have a telephone line, +44 1273 256 150, if you want to leave a message or an audio question. And of course, you can find the podcast on iTunes. And we love ratings on iTunes, don't we, Matt?
Yeah, keep rating us. Give us a like on Facebook as well.
So it's goodbye from me, Andy White, and it's goodbye from
Matt.
And we'll see you next time on Internet Marketing.
See ya.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com. The number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.